Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. I was just looking at video along the east coast of Florida where people are descending on stores and stocking up. The shelves are bare. I'm looking at Port Orange, Florida, Port St. Lucie, Daytona Beach, as they await the expected arrival of Hurricane Dorian, which, as you just heard on NPR News, forecast to be a Category 4 when it arrives Monday, Labor Day. We'll, of course, keep you updated in the days to come here on 89.3 KPCC. If you have friends, family members there, we'll give you a sense of what's going on. Later this hour, on a much lighter note, the best chicken in Southern California. You probably heard a lot, even if you didn't get a chance to taste it, how Popeye's chicken sandwich became a huge deal and lines down the street and sell out of the chicken by late in the day. But of course, there's great chicken beyond Popeye's and beyond Chick-fil-A, which some of the stores even ended up coming and serving the Popeye's employees in the kitchen who were so beleaguered. We're going to find out your favorite place for chicken. That's later this hour. But first, we turn our attention to a hard-fought compromise on charter school legislation in Sacramento. As we talked about previously on the program, the teachers' unions in California wanted to see more controls on the creation of charter schools because they see them as taking state average daily attendance money that comes from public school district-run enrollment, and that money being siphoned off to charter schools and hurting the students who were attending the district-run schools. Well, the charters pushed back on that very hard. We have a compromise now, and with us to talk about what it is, John Fensterwald, reporter at EdSource, who's written about this. John, good to have you with us.
Oh, great to have something to talk about. When you were talking, I was thinking maybe there's a little blue sky in the end of a Category 3 hurricane over the charter wars in California.
Yeah, I frankly wasn't quite sure where they were going to find a compromise because it seemed they were so polarized in this. So what's your understanding of how far this legislation goes on restricting charters?
Well, it's a significant change in the charter law. The charter law basically has been intact for 30 years. And the governor, it's because the governor got involved that we have a compromise. Under Governor Brown, he was a charter supporter, didn't want any changes to the law. And when Governor Newsom was elected, I think the charter unions and school districts saw a real opportunity to sort of rewrite the charter law. And this is somewhere in between.
All right. And so school districts, what is the degree of latitude they're going to have on issuing new credentials for charters to open?
Yeah, well, the charter school approval is probably the biggest area of change that the unions and districts push for. Under the current law, you really have to approve a charter that satisfies all the criteria in the law. It's you shall approve a charter. Now, this school boards will be able to consider the financial impact that a charter might have on a district and also its impact on academic programs, whether or not it's duplicative of existing schools. And that's a big change. And that gives a lot of flexibility to perhaps turn charters down. And that worry, that's the key here. And to what extent do they have the ability to look at a fiscal impact and say, no, it's too much impact on our school. And that's worrying charter folks still, despite this compromise. And frankly, I think we need to see the final wording, which isn't out yet, in order to know the precise language.
Because it seemed to me that under what the unions were wanting, you could turn down almost any application because it is de facto going to have an effect by virtue of drawing students who are attending district-run school, unless the charter could effectively argue it's only going to take from other charter schools, or that these are new kids who otherwise wouldn't go to district schools, it would have a financial effect.
So the bill, and there were hints of this with a compromise, first compromise in July, was pretty much laid out where we were headed. It's really clear that if you're a district like Oakland, and maybe Los Angeles can make that same argument because it's got so many charter schools, if you can demonstrate that you're in in financial stress, because you're in financial stress and you have a lot of charters, you can, the presumption would be that you can turn down new charter schools. But there are plenty of districts that aren't in financial stress and that don't have as many charters as Oakland and Los Angeles and San Diego, for which charters can't be blamed for their financial difficulties or for the pressures that they're under. So that's where I think the balance comes in. To what extent can you say, look, you got 100 kids,
yeah,
that's 100, I'm losing $6,000 each. That's a financial impact. We're going to turn you down, versus the charter's argument that, hey, look, you've got a low-performing school in your district. We have a proven track record, perhaps, like KIPP or Spire, to charter groups, and they say, you need us to improve the performance of students. So how you balance that out?
We're talking with EdSource reporter John Fensterwald. He's reporting on this compromise that's been forged along with the governor's help. His staffers apparently been centrally involved in the negotiations over the compromise bill that would affect the power of local school districts to restrict the creation of new charter schools. John, when we talked with Myrna Castrejón, who's the head of the statewide charter school organization, one of her big concerns was that the earlier version of the bill would have allowed school districts to deny the renewal of licenses, whatever you call it, the certificate to operate for the charters, for ones that were already established. Do we know if school districts would be able to deny the renewals under this?
That's a great question, because the compromise affects really a major aspects of the charter law, renewals and appeals, as well as first-time charters. And it will treat renewals differently, and it will sort of create tiers of schools that are doing really well. And then you can, the California School Dashboard, which we have all these performance measures by color, they'll judge charter schools by the same that district schools are judged. And if you're in the upper tier, the blue and the green, nice colors under the dashboard, well, then you should get pretty much an automatic renewal. And for a lengthy time, 7 years. If you're a poor performing charter in the sort of what the colors are orange and red at the bottom, then the presumption is that you may not be renewed unless you can provide other evidence of other things you're doing that would maybe give you a 2 year or a 1 year renewal. But the thing is, on renewals, you won't be able to use the same financial impact on a renewal, because, hey, they're already in existence, as you could for a new school. That's an important distinction.
And the duplicative program part of it, could that potentially apply to a renewal?
I don't think so if it's already in existence. I see the wording, but the fact that they're there and it was approved and you're either doing a good job to close the achievement gap or you're not, I don't believe that would then be a factor.
All right. We're talking with EdSource reporter John Fensterwald about the governor announcing a compromise has been reached between the two sides, the charter school supporters on the one hand, the teachers unions on the other, a compromise agreement which would change, as John just told us, first time in 30 years, the criteria that local school districts can use for permitting the establishment of a new charter. If you want to weigh in on this, on one side or the other, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. John, we've had a difficult time. We've reached out to the various stakeholders. No one seemed able or wanting to talk with us about this. Is it your sense that until this actually is signed into law and the language released, they're just shying away from it?
I think it's really disappointing. The bill, which is a Assembly Bill 1505, will come out of Appropriations Committee in the Senate tomorrow. They have the wording, but they're not releasing the wording, perhaps not until it's in print over the weekend. And I don't know. I mean, no one is talking. I don't have a copy. A lot of people would like a copy, don't have a copy. So I think it's concerning that we should be able to read it right now.
Well, and then it goes out over Labor Day weekend, where it's sort of the darkest, period for people to access it as well. that kind of looks as though, at least the appearance, that they're a little concerned that the thing could still blow up.
Well, you never know. The Charter School Association has taken a neutral position. It was vehemently opposed to the original bill. And the California Teachers Association seems to, in its statement, seems very happy with it. The one thing I didn't mention, which I should, is that the one area that charter schools really sort of wanted to preserve what we have, which is the appeal process. The original bill would have basically given local districts the total authority. You can deny it, and gotten rid of the appeals process. Right now, it will continue. There will be a full appeal to the county board of education. So charters that are denied can count on that new hearing. There will be a very restrictive appeal to the state board of education. So in that respect, the unions and school districts won a victory there.
All right, John, I'm going to let you go. Is there anything else that you think is important for us to know about this bill?
I think it should restore some peace and quiet. We've been fighting over this for years now, and I think it's a significant. I think the question is whether it will bring a halt to new charter schools because of this fiscal impact question. And that's something to watch. And so, again, as I said, you know, you really need to look at the language of its final draft, which I haven't seen and they're not showing.
All right. Hopefully we'll have that on Tuesday that we can share with listeners. John, thanks so much. Good to talk with you. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Reporter at EdSource, John Fensterwald, with us on this compromise. The governor's office, his staffers playing a major role in getting the two parties in the same room to hammer out a compromise on charter school formation. You're listening to Where Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up, we're going to talk about those mosquitoes that are everywhere. I'm sure getting bitten up. It seems like every night. I'd like to hear what's going on with all these mosquitoes. We'll get the experts on with us momentarily. Back in 1 minute on Air Talk.